Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Indeed it does, and right now on Fast, the Dow just barely keeps its winning streak alive. It is up to 10 days in a row right now. The focus now turns to a Fed decision next week, to housing data, consumer confidence as well. Plus, the biggest week of the earnings season on tap, time to trade it or fade it. From big tech to burgers to big old airliners, we will look at where the desk stands, and that's just minutes away. And later, the chart of the summer. It has been, and here are some hints, on a swift rise since May and a yellow brick road of success for months. We'll dim the lights and raise the curtain coming up. Good evening, everybody. I'm Tyler Matheson in for Melissa Lee. This is Fast Money, live from the NASDAQ market site. And on the desk tonight, Julie Beal, Guy Adami, Karen Feinerman. And here on set, the two lonely folks here, Courtney Garcia. Courtney, good to be with you.
We've got to hold the fort down.
All right, we start with the Dow's best run in 6 years. It may have come down to the wire. The gain was small, but the blue chip index did eke out a small, and we do mean small, gain. The Dow now up 10 sessions in a row for its longest winning streak since August of 2017. For the other major averages, a bit of a mixed day. This on a day where there was a sizable volume of index and stock options expiry. Even with today's anemic performance, the Dow did jump more than 2% this week, and the market now turns to the busiest week of earnings season and a key Fed decision on Wednesday. Guy Adami, how important is next week for this little bull
run? Tyler, did you write that open? Did you write that open? Because that's why you're on the Mount Rushmore of CNBC. It's just genius.
Right,
genius.
There. We're nailing it. We're giving them the A game today.
Of course you are. I think it's really important. I think the Fed's going to move 25. I think that's probably in the market. But it's the hawkish commentary that you're going to continue to hear. And I think they know. I think these Fed officials realize that I think inflation's going to reaccelerate in the back half of this year, September, October, November. All the indications point to that. The comps are going to be easier for inflation to start to rise. And if you look very quietly, gasoline's making a new 52-week high this week alone. So some of these inflation inputs are back on their horse. I think you're going to have a hawkish Fed, and I think it's going to throw some cold water on what's been an incredible rally.
Karen, that has been the talk, what Guy just said, and that is that the Fed has basically said what they're going to do, and that is raise rates by a quarter point. But I find myself wondering, after that inflation print last week, do they really need to, or should they just stick with the pause?
I'm with Guy. I think they sort of need to. I feel like, you know, one of the things that they're trying to do is obviously have unemployment is as low as it's been. They're trying to sort of cool from the labor angle. They've made no progress on that. So that sort of gives them a little bit of cushion to continue to raise. And, great that the numbers are down. However, they're still higher than they need to be. So I think that, maybe they pause after this one. I don't know. But I actually don't think the job is done. I think they got a couple more raises left to go.
Julie, as Guy points out, you've got some measures that are indicating sort of those inflation signals. This grain situation in Ukraine and the pressure that may put on the price of what I would call strategic foodstuffs could also add to inflation. So are you also in the camp that says, hey, the Fed is going to raise rates by a quarter point next week? And what would that mean to the equity market?
Well, I definitely think that people are underestimating how much of a benefit it's been to the U.S. economy that oil prices have been as soft as they are. It's probably on the order of $200 billion in extra money in the consumer's pocket. And so I think that's why things have been as strong and as resilient as they have been. If that reverses, that really changes the math. And I think the Fed is wary of that. I think they recognize that a lot of the inputs in terms of commodities are out of their control. We don't know if the Chinese economy does get stronger, that does have pressure on pricing as well. So I think they're just really concerned to not repeat the mistakes of the 1970s. That really seems to be the playbook they care about. You can argue that this actually is much more reminiscent of the 1940s. And I think from here on out, the tone is what matters more so than, you know, 25 basis points here or there.
So, Courtney, jump into the conversation here. Where are you on what the Fed is likely to do? And what might the messaging be beyond the fact of the decision, whatever it happens to be?
Yeah, and I actually want to echo Julie's comments here, which I completely agree with. I think at this point, they've raised 500 basis points in a year, and actually markets have really bounced off of their lows and actually not reacted very negatively to that news. So I don't think another 25 basis points is really going to move the needle here, and it's really going to be sentiment that matters. And I would be shocked if they did not come out hawkish. I don't necessarily that means they will continue to raise interest rates as we go forward, but they are not going to take their foot off the pedal or let people know that they're going to beforehand by any means. So I think you want to expect that you're going to get that language moving forward. Yes, markets might move a little bit on that, but you know I do still see there's definitely ways to look at this one way or another, but there are a lot of positives that I'm hoping inflation does continue to come down, especially wage inflation is trending downwards, which would be a good thing for the Fed moving forward. So I am hopeful that we'll continue to see it.
Does the market sort of step past an interest rate hike this week if it comes? Step over it?
Quite likely. I don't think the rate hike itself is going to be the problem. It's going to be how hawkish the Fed's language is. That's really what I think the big caveat's going to be.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to New York Magazine, out with a cover story this week on what they are calling the office space apocalypse in New York City. The piece hitting just as the REIT sector is starting to show signs of light. Our chartmaster just last month made a call that he was seeing opportunities in the office space, and he's not ready to change his tune now. Let's bring in Carter Wirth of Wirth Charting. Carter, talk to us about it.
Right. So magazine covers are a curious thing. There is a magazine cover indicator. But anyway, we'll leave that alone. The judgment from two Fridays ago was to start to embrace REITs. We'll look at some charts together, but it's important to note that the top four or five names, which make up about 50% of the sector, not a one, of course, is in offices. It's storage REITs like Prologis and American Tower, Tower for cell phones, and Equinix, right, for data centers or public storage and so forth. But let's look at the charts. We have three identical daily charts and then a longer term. So what you see here is the first chart. It has no drawings, no lines, but there is an arrow. And so why the arrow? Well, next chart. We have a well-defined downtrend. This is clear. And if you see it, the downtrend on the second chart, whether we use an automated trend line or an actual trend line, an automated trend line is what a moving average is, and that has started to turn. You can see the flattening of the line. Now look at the actual trend line. The next chart, it's the same thing, meaning we've moved above the downtrend. And then finally, a long-term chart, which really puts some of this in perspective. That well-defined uptrend line connects beautifully from the COVID low, and we've bounced off it to the penny repeatedly. And now we have converging trend lines, and we're starting to move up and out from this formation. We like this area of the market, and we think IYR or XLRE, those are the vehicles to use.
This wouldn't be the first time that a magazine jumps in at precisely the moment where the market turns in the opposite direction from what they're saying. In these ETFs, how do you know which ones have the kinds of concentrations in the kinds of properties that you might favor? In other words, some of the ETFs may have more commercial real estate, more malls and strip malls. Others may have more office buildings. Others may have apartment buildings. How can you do the second level digging to lead you in the right direction, Carter?
Sure. So you can go online and you can, the two big ones, it's the IYR or again, the SPDR, XLRE. They give you the weightings, and you'll note again that the biggest weighting in IYR and XL and in the actual S&P 500 sector is Prologis, which is a storage,
storage
warehouses, literally, which has nothing to do, but not storage like when you and I were to store an old bicycle. That's public storage, PSA, for instance, and that's also in the top five. But American Tower, cell phones, or Equinix data centers, or Crown Castle, another tower. So of the top five, there's not a single one that's like Boston Property or something tied to New York real estate like SL Green. And so in that sense, I don't think it quite dovetails with the magazine cover. We know there's a glut of office spaces in downtown centers across the United States.
Carter, we're going to see you shortly on Options Action, right?
You bet.
I'll be waiting. Karen, you're in this space. Your take on it?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I look at things completely differently than Carter. He's all about the charts. I'm much more about the fundamentals and what's happening. And so for me, Boston Properties, which he mentioned, is the way that I want to express this bet. I mean, sentiment could not be worse. It makes such a compelling short, how terrible offices are, how interest rates have gone up, and there's no debt to be had. And yet, it's so bad, kind of, that I think it's good in that Boston Properties, which, as I said, is sort of the, you know, the preeminent one, they did manage to get a deal, a debt deal done in May. They have continued to pay their dividend while many others haven't. And so an SL Green has a lot more turbocharged. They did sell one property, which sort of ignited the market. And I just think capital will start to flow in. And so the risk reward, I think, is compelling here. So I'm sticking with Boston Properties.
All right, Guy, jump in here. What's your trade in this area?
Well, before my trade, I'll tell you that Edward Munch painting that Carter is sitting in front of is extravagant. You should look at that during Options Action. But my trade is Simon Properties, which is, but isn't that amazing?
Which you know where I was? You know where I was 3 weeks ago?
I have no idea. How would I know? Where were you?
I was at the Edvard Munch Museum in Oslo, and I saw a lot of Munchs.
That looks like Munch to me. I mean, I don't know about you, but
I don't know what it is. We'll find out.
Munch to me.
Anyhow, I digress. Go ahead.
If we could put up an SPG chart over the last like 8 or so years, you'll see it's a pretty well-defined downtrend from 2016. But you've had bounces along the way, and I think that's what we're in the midst of. So, you know, this bounce can probably last a lot longer than people think. Probably gets us up to the mid-140s or so, and then it probably starts its trajectory lower. But I think Karen's right in terms of the trade. I think Carter's probably right as well in terms of some momentum, but it's not like these things have been fixed.
All right, let's move to a news alert on AMC. A judge blocking the company now from converting its 8 preferred units into common stocks. These have been controversial shares. Many retail investors opposed the conversion because it would have diluted their shares. AMC shares, as you see right there, are up $3, up 71%. Karen, you've been following. Well, let's go to Michael Santoli with the news here. Go ahead, Mike. Oh, I thought we had Mike Santoli on this. I beg your pardon. Karen, you have been following this one.
I'll try to be Mike Santoli. His big shoes to fill. But all right. So this one is not fundamentally great news for AMC, actually, because this is how they were going to raise cash to finance their rather hefty debt load. What it is a short squeeze. A lot of ARBs had the position on long the APE and short the AMC, hoping that the court would allow APEs to turn into AMC, and then the company could continue to sell them into the market to raise cash. So now this throws a big wrench into it. That's why APE is down, AMC is up. This is in no way a commentary on improving health at AMC. Barbie has got to just absolutely be, you know, gone with the wind of our era. I don't know how you get out of this mess if you're AMC. They tried everything. Adam Aron has tried everything. He has been a masterful marketer and capital structure arbitrageur and magician. But this is sort of a big blow.
If you can't get Adam Aron and Barbie, and if they can't do it, I don't know who can. Julie, thoughts here?
Yeah, no, I agree completely with Karen. It's, you know, this is one of those situations where the fundamentals are going to trump everything, capital markets exclusive. You know, it's a function of this is a very difficult industry. It's really been disintermediated by a lot of what's happening in streaming. And we're just not willing to go into the theaters in the same way that we used to be. They don't have the leverage that they used to have in terms of being able to negotiate these windows. And I don't think that really is going to change over time. So this is really, really a tough picture for them right now.
It's really a fascinating industry. The theater industry is undergoing immense change. The studios, there's now strikes. The studios business is changing right underneath their feet. Not that they couldn't have seen it coming, but when you look at the Paramounts, the Warner Brothers, the Universals, the parent of CNBC and others, this whole business and the way filmed content is distributed is totally in flux right now, quite obviously. But at any rate, we're going to take a break here, and coming up, we're going to talk about the busiest week of earnings season. It is on deck. Fear not, we've got the trades for you next, and later we will reveal our chart of the summer. So what does Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, Bruce Springsteen have to do with it? Do with it all? We will explain the connection. More Fast Money in 2 minutes.
Wouldn't it be great to have all your investment and retirement accounts in one place? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, makes it easy. I use it to put my investment account and 401k accounts into one hub and get expert tips that help me confidently manage my money. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or are looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. Securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fast Money. We've got the busiest week of earnings on deck. We're going to hear from Big Pharma. We got oil, telecom, some consumer names, too. And we thought this would be the perfect time to play a little game of
Trade It or Fade It.
That's right. Trade It or Fade It. Earnings edition. Let's get the party started with Boeing, set to report results Wednesday before the bell. Guy, what do you say, trade or fade?
You know, if Tim Seymour here, he would say it's a free cash flow story. He's right. It's coming around $70 million. And you've had some pretty bad headlines over the last couple of weeks that the stock has not traded down on. So when stocks no longer go down on bad news, it means it's probably somewhat spring loaded. So I will trade it, Tyler.
All right, Julie, your thought, trade or fade Boeing?
Thing looks awfully expensive for something that's pretty cyclical and exposed to commodity prices. So I'm a little bit nervous that, you know, there's a lot of air that could come out of this tire pretty quickly. I agree on the cash flow, but I'm nervous about margins.
You say faded. Let's move on to an energy name. That would be Chevron reporting next Friday morning. Karen, what should we do here? Trade, fade?
I think trade it. I think just, you know, the thing that I like most about it is how the whole space has just underperformed. And I think if we're seeing a rotation from some of the high-flying stocks into some of the things that haven't performed, this would be right in the sort of crosshairs of where to go. So trade it.
All right, trade it. Courtney, what do you say?
I'm with Karen on this one. I think people have been overly pessimistic in the energy space. And really, when you look at them, they can really provide for their current CapEx and dividends with their cash flow, as long as oil stays above $45 a barrel. And keep in mind, it's at about 76 now. So I think that the fundamentals here just look good, and I think it's worth a trade.
All righty. Tech and AI behemoth Microsoft out on Tuesday afternoon. Julie, what would you do there, trade or fade?
I think I'm trading it here. I think this actually is one of the few companies that can benefit from AI in the near term. I'm mostly going to be listening on this conference call because literally I haven't heard a CEO give me a real understanding of what generative AI is going to do. The writers on strike are doing a better job explaining what generative AI can do. So I'd like to hear more.
All right. Karen, your thoughts here?
It's a hard one. I actually, speaking from my book, sold half, so that would be a fade. It just has had a huge run up. Obviously, the AI pixie dust is there, but we don't know exactly how it's going to work. We do know that compute power is good for their cloud business, but this run, this multiple for Microsoft is pretty high.
All right. Last but not least, we've got Procter & Gamble reporting Friday morning. Courtney, the biggest sort of consumer products company of them all, I guess.
Yep. And I actually would trade this one. I think some of the headwinds that have been a problem for it are higher commodity prices and a strong dollar. And you're starting to see those things come down, which really should benefit them. So I really think this is worth a trade here and taking a look at.
All right. Guy, what do you think of Procter & Gamble and all of its manly products?
Love their products. I'm not sure about the stock. Valuation is rich. I think margins are going to start to contract. I'm not sure they can pass on their cost to the consumer anymore. I think it fails at the prior all-time high from, if memory serves, Tyler, December of 2021.
All right. My memory never serves these days. But coming up, the temperature is rising, but so is one company's stock price. Who's going to be crowned the chart of the summer? That name and trade is next when we return here on Fast. All right, welcome back to Fast Money, everybody. Time for a chart that looks so good. It's not just our chart of the week, but our chart of the summer. Shares of Live Nation off to a sizzling start, surging more than 40% over the past 3 months. No secret why. The stock getting a boost from the success of high-grossing summer concerts. You got Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, Bruce Springsteen's 2023 run, and Elton John's Farewell Yellow Brick Road World Tour. So how should investors trade this summer surge? We'll begin with you, Court.
Yeah, I think it's a couple things here, but this is very interesting to look at what it means for the consumer. Clearly, this idea where people are going more towards services and they want live events rather than goods, that trend is definitely continuing, and you're seeing that with Live Nation. I was at the Ed Sheeran concert here. I have never seen a more packed concert. I mean, this is happening right here.
Was it the MetLife?
On a Sunday night, it was completely packed. And everybody's in their seats on time. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I think my only concern with this stock is how expensive it is. It trades at 145 times next year's earnings. But interestingly enough, the last 5 years trade over 200 times next year's earnings. So I think when you look at it that way, it is very expensive, but not necessarily compared to itself. So maybe it still has some room to run here.
Karen, what do you think? This is one you own.
Yes, it is. It's one I've owned for a long time. It always has been expensive. They sort of pay up to build their book of future concerts. I mean, they just have an ecosystem that is absolutely unmatched. So between the concert venues that they control, and the talent that they work with, and then the sponsorship and the ticketing. They do own Ticketmaster. It's just, it is a business that you really can't recreate. Yeah. So it's expensive, but I do own it.
So, Guy, how many farewell tours can you have? This is a farewell tour, and I really mean it this time. The Eagles are going to do one, Elton John. And so what do you think of Live Nation, man?
I mean, you have as many as you want. I mean, Tyler, I mean, think about it. I mean, if you really think about it, every night is sort of a farewell tour. You never know what's going to happen the next day.
True.
I think Live Nation, to Karen's point, to Courtney's point, it's always been expensive. But if you to go look at a chart, it was this time last year. It was actually early August that the stock sort of topped out around 98. So this is actually a logical place, I think, to take some profits and look for a pullback to buy it at better prices.
All right, let's do our final trades. It's gone by so fast, I can't believe it. And I'm doing this not in any order other than the one that they wrote for me, so I'm not picking on anybody, but Julie, you go first.
I think TransUnion is worth a look here. You know, mortgage originations were surprisingly good at JP Morgan and Wells Fargo, and that's good for the credit bureaus.
Guy, you're final.
You speak Portuguese?
No.
Well, you should, because Brazil ETF is breaking out of like a 17-year downtrend. EWZ.
EWZ. Ooze. Okay. Karen, you're up.
Yes. Well, first, I want to thank you, Tyler, for being here on a Friday night in the summer.
You're typical. Thank you guys
Thanks for having me.
I love being with you.
I may regret this because Guy's on the other side of it, but I'm going with the girl that brought me to the last segment, Live Nation. Staying long.
Live Nation. All right. And Court, you have one that you mentioned earlier as well.
Chevron. Yeah, we talked about this earlier, but I'm definitely optimistic on energy and ahead of earnings. Worth a look.
All right. Got to go. That does it for Fast Money, but don't go anywhere. Options Action is up next. Great to be with you all. Thank you.
All opinions expressed by the Fast Money participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information the Fast Money participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Fast Money disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Fast Money Disclaimer.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.